Hello, and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
It was a bad idea of a Mexican telecaster, but it said,
yeah. Everything you touch.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show on Radioactive San Diego. That is there was Ladytron doing Destroy Everything You Touch. Before that, we had Nirvana doing Drain You. And we started off with Against Me, We Laugh at Danger and Break All the Rules, which is a dedication to Brad Will, the New York City independent media reporter who was in Oaxaca and was murdered last week by police thugs. Laughing at Danger, breaking all the rules. I did not know the man, but everything I've read about him says that was sort of what he was all about. So shout out to him. I'm Jake. This is the show. Obviously, going to have to talk about Oaxaca today. So much going on there over the past week. Oaxaca being the second poorest state in Mexico, sort of the southern end of it. There has been sort of a rebellion of sorts going on there. A nonviolent rebellion, actually, going on for since June, really. I've talked about it a few times on the show, different aspects of it. But things have just been full-blown nonstop since Thursday or Friday of last week. So I'll talk about that and then talk a little bit about Brad Will. Let's see, other stuff to talk about. Some media issues, some media, how they cover things. John Kerry and Mark Halperin. We have to talk about those. Are some interesting examples from this week. We talk a little bit about trends in Halloween costumes, the Take Back the Land movement going on in Miami, a little bit about political polling and the upcoming election, and then light cigarettes. I'll have to talk about. There's a lawsuit that came out some weeks or months ago claiming that people were saying that they had been buying so-called light cigarettes. They'd switched from regular cigarettes to light cigarettes, thinking they were healthier, but it turned out they weren't any healthier, so there was this lawsuit of fraud. I actually found out how the light cigarette got its name and how it's fraud, and it's one of the most astounding things I've heard in recent times. And then I'll play this in actually just a second. I talked a little bit about, well, I'll get to that in a second. First of all, I wanted to mention just a little self-congratulations to me for the past probably 4 or 5 months on my website. I look at the statistics for the radio show here, and I get about 6,000 downloads a month. Now, that doesn't mean every show gets 6,000 downloads. That means I have one folder of radio shows, which is all the shows I've done since I started here at Radioactive. It's maybe about a year and a half's worth of radio shows, and that folder has been getting about 6,000 downloads every month. Slowly creeping up, I suppose. For the month of October, that jumped up to 11,000. In September, it was 6,000. October, 11,000. No idea why. I didn't start some sort of advertising push. I didn't. I don't think I was linked to by any famous website or anything like that. I don't know. Mystery of mysteries. If you just started listening to the show in October, maybe drop me a line. Let me know what happened or where you saw the link or how you found me. Jake@lyingmediabastards.com. You can send me a note that way. But yeah, let me play this first. This will be a link to what I was talking about last week, in a manner of speaking. Last week, George W. Bush and his crew started deciding to say that they were no longer going to use the phrase "stay the course" to describe what was going on, what the U.S. strategy in Iraq. They were saying we were adjusting tactics. He was interviewed on a radio, on a television show, and he said, no, we've never been, we've never been about stay the course. So, let us make a mockery of the man. Let me turn down the music, turn up the volume of the computer here, and play this clip for you. This is actually, a compilation of little snippets of speeches by, Bush administration folks, which were cut together to make a commercial in favor of Democrats, but you'll get the idea. So just kind of read between the lines. And you won't get to see the who's speaking, but, you know, you're smart radio-minded folks, you'll know. Well, in a minute. Damn you, YouTube! Okay, possibly we'll hear this. Possibly we won't hear this. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, da 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 da. Hmm. You might have to save that for later. Okay, I'll talk about other stuff while that's coming up. We'll come back to this. Let's see here. Maybe I could play this. There was another. Okay, this one's actually just a humorous video clip. Does not have to do with politics much. Let me see if I can find this. Probably by the time I'm finished stalling for time and finding new things, the YouTube clip will be ready. Stupid internet. Okay, now the computer's freezing. Now I'm just killing time, and you're all saying what's going on, and let's see here. Let me try to find what I'm looking for. You know, this is terrible radio. I'm sick. Let's all remember Jake is sick, and maybe that is the, maybe that's the cause. Okay, fuck this. We're gonna come back to fun video clips and stuff. As I did mention, the rebellion stuff going on in Oaxaca, and in a way it really is kind of stupid for me to be, like, taking a song and saying, and this is a shout-out to this guy who did something really huge and important, but it's a cool kind of punk song, and it's all silly. But, you know, it's what I've got. I've got a radio show, so I can say these things, and, anyhow. But, looking amongst my arsenal of music, this is going to be for, people of Oaxaca who were standing up to the, Oaxacan government, and now to the federal police that are trying to take over their town and their state. Gonna get a little Atari Teenage Riot. This is Revolution Action. I'm Jake. If you're listening live, you want to make a comment, question, get on your instant messenger, the AOL or Yahoo varieties, send something to Radioactive SD. If you're listening after the fact, email me, jake@lyingmediabastards.com or lmbradio@gmail.com. And here we go. People of Oaxaca know about Revolution Action. And here we go.
make music to roll to, the kind of music that holds you, music to set your goals to, music that blows you away, music to start your day, music to melt all your problems away. I make music to get high to, music that get all up inside you, music to tell the truth to, music to lie to, music you can't live without, music your friends talk about, music like food tastes good in your mouth. I make the kind of music people make love to, music that people hate to, the kind of music b-boys can break to. I make music the skateboarders on the grind escape to, music that you can jump in the lake to. I make music for the cassette deck and music for CDs, music for turntables and music for TVs, music with acapellas and music with instrumentals, music for brains in the backseat of your rental. I make music.
Push up your phone unclear, song for me, Mr. DJ Stabber. Watch me and mash up the dance all the way, black people them might get down, you know we are here. Tear up on me, can jump up in my set up, dance till me sweat up, me whole body wet up. Anyone who holding up the wall, them are better. Feel them might check us on up when they say it up.
Music gets up in my soul, make me wanna wiggle my toe, make me wanna bust the floor.
What would you do if there was no music? Would you make it through the day or would you start to lose it? I know that I'd probably go crazy. Music make my mind clear, without it I go hazy. Play me a sad song, eyes get teary. Play me a happy song, I'm getting cheery. Give me a guitar and I start strumming it. Singing even spiritual and I start humming it. When I hear a fat beat, yo, I get to dancing. When I make a dope beat, I buckle up my pants and buckle up my shoes and head to the studio, because I be dropping shit just like the booty hole. Whether it's jazz or funk or soul music, folk songs, rock and roll, I'm gonna use it. Bebop, gospel, sample it, loop it, bang them drums and make them sound stupid. Music,
push up your sound and play that song for me, Mr. DJ Stabber. Watch me and mash up the dance all the way, black people them might get down, you know we are here. Take up on beat and jump up, they might set up, dance till me sweat up, me whole body wet up. Anyone who holding up the wall, they might better. Feel them might check us down up when they say it up.
I make music for the rich and for the poor in the street. Music for hands who buy music instead of something to eat. I make music with a pencil, a pen, a crayon or a crayon. I make music no matter when. I make music when I walk on the street, shuffle my feet. I make music in my dreams and when I'm falling asleep. I make music cause I have to, the kind of music that grabs you, music that people cry to, music to laugh to, music for racing crews on the highway to crash to, music for real niggas in the street to mash to, music to blast to, and music to make peace to, music to break a piece so you can pull out your heat to, music for the niggas who make music too. And most of all, I make the music for you, for you. And most of all, I make the music for you, for you. And most of all, I make the music for you, for you, for you.
Push up your sound and play that song for me, Mr. DJ Stabber. Watch me and mash up the dance all the way, black people them might get down, you know we are here. Take up on beat and jump up, they might set up, dance till me sweat up, me whole body wet up. Anyone who holding up the wall, they might better. Feel them might check us stand up when they sing it up.
Wanna go model, trying to be flying on the runway when all their rhyme spray pertains to gunplay. What a contrast, but when it comes to hip-hop, you're living on a plane similar to Big Boppers. My plane is existential, fans are still wistful, but back in the days, but I run with vagrants by the fistful. And no, we're not loitering, we are disorderly, so make beats and kick clowns, but most importantly, I'll spit this like it's my last day, so it might be, I might leave, this movie get hit by a drunk on my pathway, I like see, I'm slightly sick, but mostly hype, we spoke to Kali, talk to Al, the boys might smoke tonight, these folks are life living, I'm strife giving, no night shivin', motherfuckers near Northlands, up by the horse tracks, and floor caps, a core more, and help restore rap, but too many feel they don't wanna test like Rorschach, I can't work day to day to live and start me in the lunch line, that's why my show lasts longer than it's a lip-relief punchline, I rap it to the next bar like it's a lip-relief punchline, but I make no sense like it's a lip-relief punchline, cause they don't pay trunks if they own in the ticket, I started to rip it at O'Burns at the talk of the chickens, the men were rookie birds. So they got it a hand. Fuck your girlfriend, man. Quit doubting your man. That's your show, you're on stage playing with your crew while I poach it up, sip with a Stella, thinking of lines for you. These local rappers ain't shit to me. I spit serendipity, flipping addiction. I'm Joe with B. beats like two tippity oos. Dissing me crews get to be too finicky. Criminally few venom then choose to use mimicry. I bet it hurts you to see me on top, jumping on chairs like Roberto Benigni. Life is beautiful, especially when you discern the average and get above it by flipping samples like a dirty mattress. I convey a new talent, display the true balance. Who's callous? Is it a kid in the Navy? New balance? You might be telling some things to elegant thinkers until I run your house and take your jewels like Zelda's Link. But it looks like y'all fucked up. Stumbled up and downstairs, apparently they run amok. Punks jump up, it's a dog star. These car parkers better buckle up for the kid with the black boomers and thrift store button up. Knuckle fucks, I chuckle at them. Locking up business on instinct, I rustle tough like I'm crushing the English. Till it's broken, Copenhagen, meaning I didn't mark a target. Leaving progress stop, spin sharp dark to the stark darkness. Harking back to the days, not a sizzling a rerun. I'm chilling in the dorm, steady drinking Capri Sun. See, you know, that wasn't so hard. See, that's how you kill a spider.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastards radio show. That is, there was The Cure doing Hot, 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 for that Jesus Mary Chain doing Catch Fire, Cadence Weapon doing Lisa's Spider, Eminon doing Make Music, and Atari Teenage Riot doing Revolution Action. Hold on a second, something was... There we go. It looks like none of those video clips. I wanted to play some of the video clips and have you guys hear the sound to them. That's not going to happen. Our internet connection is doing goofy things. Obviously today I wanted to talk about what's going on in Oaxaca. It looks like news is updating and changing even as we speak. Let me try to think of the short way to explain it. I guess every year, generally, in Oaxaca, there is a school teacher strike, where the school teachers of the state of Oaxaca go march on the Capitol. They go on strike for a couple weeks, demanding better wages. The government concedes. The state government, the governor, gives them their raise, and the teachers go home. This year, in May 2006, teachers went on strike. The governor made an offer, and the teachers didn't like the offer. So they stayed in the city, they stayed in the capital, set up a tent city, and were doing a longer protest. And instead of, just make do and deal with the fact that there's people protesting or try to negotiate a deal that they like, the governor decided to send in riot police. Riot police went in and tear gassed everybody and smashed up the encampments and all that. Now, this coupled with the fact that many feel that this governor, Ulises Ruiz Ortiz, a lot of people feel that he was illegally elected, that there was a corruption, there was shadiness, there was fraud, and that's how he got into power. And so sort of like these two things really made the people of Oaxaca beyond this teachers' union really kind of pay attention, get together, and they decided that there's what they were going to do is they're going to try to get this guy out of office. They figured he's corrupt, he has ties with the PRI, PRI political party in Mexico, which has a long history of corruption and violence. And but in the Mexican Constitution, it says that if a state is ruled to be ungovernable, the federal government can remove the leader of that state. They can remove the governor. So the protesters went about trying to make the city ungovernable with civil disobedience. They took over government buildings. They took over some media or some radio and TV stations. They set up barricades so the cars couldn't get through. It really just went about trying to make it so that shut down the capital city of Oaxaca. And they've done so since June. It's been a long time coming. And it started getting scarier when there were some people who were killed. It looked to be police officers and members of paramilitary groups with ties to the PRI party where they were suspected of committing these murders of the protesters. It was hard to get to find the numbers. I was pouring through some newspaper articles online. It was looking like through October it was maybe 10 or 12 people who had been, just shot. And of course the media like to say, they were killed in clashes. That's got to be one of the funniest media phrases. Clashes! It doesn't matter if one side's got rocks and one side's got bullets. If there's a clash, you can't tell who got shot. The people who have the guns are the police and paramilitaries. Someone gets shot, that means the police and the paramilitaries did it. If the protesters don't have guns, gives you a hint. But, late last week, three more people were murdered and caught on videotape. And it looked like they were all members of local police force or local city councils, believe it or not. I think there was one off-duty or retired justice of the peace from a town, a couple towns over from Oaxaca City. And, killed three people, including the indie media reporter Brad Will from New York City. That was one of the things that helped raise this issue, was suddenly, it's a frustrating thing that the mainstream media that, you know, these people in the state of, you know, how much news coverage really was of the, was there of this rebellion? How much of coverage was there of these peaceful protesters getting tear gassed back in May? How much coverage of the people being murdered by the police while they were protesting? But sadly, you know, when you know, suddenly an American gets killed and it becomes a bigger story and it begins getting a lot of coverage. And for the first time I can remember, the mainstream media actually giving respect to an indie media journalist. Normally they, you know, want to say they're a bunch of unwashed hippies or talk about how biased they are, or, you know, that they're not professionals or whatever. But he was there and they weren't, you know. He was went to this dangerous place and was covering people who were struggling for a better life, struggling against this corrupt and murderous regime that was going on in Oaxaca. He was there, they weren't, and the whole thing was just more intense. I'm not a member of any of the independent media centers, but you know, it's this movement of indie media folks, you know, worldwide. There's something like 150 chapters of them in different cities, you know, in Germany and in Africa and Australia and Mexico and Guatemala and just all over the world. And I've worked with a number of these groups on different little projects, or at least been in communication with a lot of them. And I know a lot of folks who are members of independent media centers. You know, here in San Diego, there I know some folks who are parts of it. We work closely with a lot of them here at Radioactive, actually. And then friends of mine in New York, they knew this guy, which made the entire thing much more intense, surreal, intimate, bizarre. And online, they actually have a footage. He was shot and killed. He was shot holding his video camera, and somebody actually uploaded the last footage that was in his camera, which was a lot of footage of these paramilitaries attacking the protesters, trying to shoot them over the barricades, around the barricades, through the barricades. And because of that, because of the, you know, I mean, obviously, like I said, it's not a friend of mine. I didn't know him. But the whole thing just it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. You know, it's footage of a guy being killed, the last moments of his life, from his point of view. It's awful. You know, it's out there, and you know, since he was a journalist, maybe he would want people to see that. I just know that it was terrible. And but because of the added press attention suddenly to the crisis in Oaxaca, the rebellion and the paramilitary violence, suddenly Mexican President Vicente Fox decides to send in federal police forces to go in and restore law and order, he said. Which is just so insane that people are being murdered by police, and you say, we must solve the problem by sending in the police. It's my opinion that Fox has been trying to ignore this situation for as long as possible, because he's actually out of office December 1st. The new guy, who we don't even know if he was elected legally either, Calderon, will be taking power. And it was surely Fox's greatest wish to ignore this and let the next guy handle it. But he felt like his hand had been forced or something, and he said for sure he was going to solve the situation before he left office. Which reminds me that when Fox was running for office, he actually said that he could solve the conflict between the Mexican government and the Zapatistas. He said, I could solve it like that. You know, snapped his fingers, and you know, he could solve it in a flash. Well, 6 years later, he hasn't done a damn thing to make any progress with making the Zapatistas go happy or making them go away. So I'm skeptical with his ability to do much of anything that will affect positively the situation in Oaxaca. So he sent in these thousands, I think the first numbers I saw said 8,000 federal police officers into Oaxaca. And the people there seem to be pretty committed to nonviolent resistance, although less so because they don't want to be violent, and more so because they're afraid that if they do anything that could be seen as provoking the police, they could, you know, get all violent on them with their, you know, superior weapons and technology. You know, the protesters seem to have, you know, your urban population has, you know, you got your rocks and your stones and your sticks and your your Molotov cocktails if you want to get crazy, and against fucking, you know, well-armed Mexican troops with body armor and machine guns. So, to be honest, I've been sort of optimistic of what's been happening, because when I first heard about this, and I was just in despair about the whole thing. I thought, you know, they're going to send in those troops, it's going to be a fucking massacre. They're going to go in there, and it's just going to be bloodshed. And I was expecting to wake up the next day and see headlines like, you know, 50 dead in Oaxaca. But I was, you know, relieved. I saw that, you know, people had been killed. You know, there's no doubt about that. At the time, I think the first day, 3 people had been killed by the federal police, which obviously is a terrible thing, but better than 50. And then the lower house of Mexican Congress all voted to tell the Mexican governor, Ulises Ruiz Ortiz, voted for and to call on him to resign. And then the upper house did too. So the entire Mexican Congress has voted to for the resignation. I mean, they at this point they don't have the power to make it happen, but the majority has called for his resignation. He's refused to resign. Which, you know, what an asshole. All this is your fucking fault. If he just quit, then a lot of this would go away. People wouldn't be getting killed or you know, being afraid of getting shot up or getting tear gassed. But yeah, and I went to the best site that with the coverage of this has been Narconews. Narconews.com. Very misleading name of the site. I might have talked about this on a past show. They used to focus on issues of the drug war in Latin America, so it was called Narco News. Now it just focuses on all sorts of Latin American issues, but it kept the same name. But still very good, mostly English language coverage, so I can read it and understand it. But yeah, it sounds like the police forces have really amped up their assault. Let's see. Helicopters firing tear gas indiscriminately into neighborhoods. Hired thugs gathered in front of the protesters' radio station. Talk about the police assaulting the university in Oaxaca, which apparently they don't have the legal right to even do. That's not property they're allowed to go and be on. Let's see. So yeah, so barricades and fighting, and it sounds like the Oaxacan people are getting more and more angry, and it might turn to more violent tactics than what they have been. Now, in support of this, in opposing the what's been going on from the Mexican government, there have been protests all over the world. Mostly in front of Mexican embassies. There's also been the virtual sit-in, they call it, which is somebody designs a web page that you can click on that will repeatedly download images from a certain site in an attempt to sort of prevent other people from properly accessing that site. It would be, you know, sort of getting in the way, so to speak. And that's what they call a virtual sit-in. Somebody's taking the virtual representation of this agency, in this case the Mexican embassy, and make so that people can't access it. So it'd be like you were blocking the door. But yeah, we've had the protests here in San Diego. There's the Mexican embassy in San Diego is on India Street, 1549 India Street in Little Italy. People are there and camping out and are vowing to stay outside of the embassy until the forces are removed, the troops are removed from Oaxaca. But yeah, there are also protests in New York City. A huge outcry in New York City because that was the hometown of Brad Will. And it was great to see some of the stuff they were doing. I mean, to remember him. And there's a lot of art projects, signs, stencils. I even saw one person in one of the protest photos who dressed in similar clothing to Brad, what Brad Will was wearing in his the final day. And mimicked being shot and laid there in the position that they found him in when he'd been shot and killed. And the phrase that I liked was, had a lot of that were saying, Brad Will Presente, which, you know, Spanish is for present, basically saying, you know, he's still here. He's still with us. He's part of this movement. His spirit is here. And I find that's a very positive statement. And you know, I read some of his reports, and they were often very poetic in his descriptions. And it reminded me of a quote I like from Oscar Wilde, who says, "We are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars." Which, that's just an important, it's an important quote, it's an important concept. This idea that things may be terrible for everybody, you know, we're the human race and we have so many problems and so far to go. But some folks are looking towards the beauty, looking towards the future, looking towards how to make things better from here. And I don't think I did a very good job expounding on the poetics of that original phrase, but there you go. I'll talk some more later. I mean, listen, I don't have any music ready for me after this. But let me choose something out here. Let us play. I started off with Against Me, playing a song, an Against Me song that I thought was appropriate. And I think I gotta go for that again. This is gonna be... Brad is a well-known anarchist from the anarchist... anarchist scene out in New York City, and reading the there were sort of a bunch of eulogies and remembrances of him on the New York City indie media site, nyc.indiemedia.org, and what really amazed me was it just seemed like he was everywhere. It seemed like everybody told the story of, I was just running into him when they didn't expect it. Yeah, I was at this protest and suddenly Brad was there. I was in Bolivia and there was Brad. I was in Germany and Brad was there. So I just love this idea that he was just all over the place. And anywhere he could go, where he could either help cause a ruckus or cover the ruckus made by people struggling for justice, he tried to be there, and that's sort of fellow you want around. But let's go with an anthem. Let's do an anthemic song here. It's going to be Against Me. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong song. We can't go with that one. Pardon me. We have to be, let's pick the proper songs. So here we're going to go. I think you all know what I'm going to play, if you've listened to this show at all in the past. Give me Baby, I'm an Anarchist by Against Me. I'm Jake, Long Media Bastard Show. More soon. If you know the words, sing along. Baby, what's
1-2-1-2. Who got more style than Sun do?
No, that's
so. 1-2. Check 1-2-1-2. Who got more style than Sun do? Check 1-2. Yo, I'm hot like 95 Fahrenheit. On a summer night, tight spot where bodies rot. Rats drink from water drops in the streets, niggas. Little kids scared cops with red dots. Philosophical gangster with violent priors. Going back like black and white TVs with pliers. Leaning on broke down cars with flat tires. Flash iron on anybody trying on the blocks I'm supplying on. Mighty Kong, my peeps, top balloons up and swallow them in the penile. Got goons, lots of them. Cops see them and run, don't want no drama. Certain parts of the streets, the beast don't want a part of martyr. Hood haunted like the Dakota, where John Lennon was shot up. But he sang for peace, he banged for freedom. Hang with wild Jamaicans from Kingston who drank Irish moss. Listening to Peter Winston Macintosh. Lightning hits the top of the church steeple when I'm writing. Semi-automatic, no hyphen. It's frightening. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. I take summers off cause I love winter beef. Started 87 with the shoddy and the sheep. 3/4 length beige, dressed to kill, bust a shell at the ground. Pellets hit the crowd, nobody like a stitch. Everybody shut their mouth. Woolrich, Carhartt, gunpowder stains. Smelling like trees, sesamil on the brain. Scheming on your girls, bamboos on your chain. Got ill up on the train. Twisting off a cap of the English in my vein. Might have pushed you on the tracks. Deaf crack fiends who can't speak scream noises. Cause she bought a drum of soap from one of my boys. It's just another day in the hood, and I'm with some wild brothers up to no good. We saw the movies like Tony Montana and them, but our style was lift them pal, then we robbing them. Money dudes, make them come up out their shoes, run their jewels. Word is born, why my man Nino gone, and I had to make a song speaking on my old life for the thieves who come out at night. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. Understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. 1-2. Check 1-2-1-2-1-2. Check 1-2-1-2. Who got more style than Sundu? Sundu.
If you think you can, come on, let's dance. Society, get together. Cool the walls on the heaven. I'm just gonna say some we'll be right back.
shiver when the cold wind blows. Little girl, what have I done that's made you treat me so?
If I do say so myself, that was a fine segue from from the noisy experimental garage rock of the Vandals to the clear old-timey country of the Leuven Brothers. The Leuven Brothers doing In the Pines. Before that, we had the Vandals doing Lovely Weather. Before that, we had Nas doing Thief's Theme. Now, what's hilarious is Nas has a new album out with a song called Hip Hop is Dead. Which is kind of the same song. Probably some of you there noticed that song Thief's Theme, that the music was a sample from Inagata De Vida by Iron Butterfly, and the Hip Hop is Dead song also takes a sample from Inagata De Vida, a different part. It's like, yeah, hip hop kind of is dead if you can't remember that you used this sample before. This isn't my doing. This is there's a blog, a soul R&B and hip hop blog called Soul Sides, where this fellow posted the two today, both songs side by side, and he said, you know, a lot of people who are hip hop fans from a certain era, we're all waiting to hear something new from Nas. I don't know why we keep expecting this great new thing to come out of him, because he just keeps disappointing us. But you know, nothing worse than this. Nothing worse than than reusing the same material. Nothing says not new like recycling. Before the Nas song, we had Bad Religion doing Turn on the Lights, and we started off with Baby I'm an Anarchist by Against Me, sort of the adopted anarchist anthem of our community. But although Against Me seems to have abandoned their political principles to try to be more of a cool rock and roll band. So all hail old Against Me, and ignore the new stuff. Oh, media news. This, I love this. Some of you may remember Silvio Berlusconi. He was the Prime Minister of Italy for several years, and it was shady that he was ever the Prime Minister of Italy because he also was the largest owner of the largest media conglomerate in Italy. So the whole thing was really kind of, it'd be like, you know, Rupert Murdoch getting elected president of Australia, or even worse, of the United States, because he owns this huge media empire. Of course, Murdoch owns the Fox News empire. Well, the Fox Media empire. It's not just news, it's entertainment, it's movies, it's television, it's, in other parts of the world, it's satellite broadcasting. So that's the sort of fellow Berlusconi was. And yeah, a bit of a fascist, not a very hard right politician. But now, this is from October 30th, so this is Monday. Former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and UK lawyer David Mills have been ordered to stand trial next year over corruption allegations related to Berlusconi's Mediaset SPA company. That's. That's so satisfying to read. I can't even tell you. Milan prosecutors asked a judge to indict the former premier and the lawyer, Mills, who allegedly received a $600,000 payment for testifying in Berlusconi's favor in a separate criminal case. Oh, and this is a juicy bit. Mills is married to UK Culture Secretary Tessa Jowell. So, oh man, that just makes me happy. we don't usually see rich guys go to jail, but you know, keep your fingers crossed, man. Berlusconi in prison. Now two media stories here that I mentioned at the beginning of the show that are really kind of, well, I'll just say it this way. I'm glad that I'm not a person who is a Democrat or a liberal or a reformer, because this really would have broken my spirit, seeing this news story here. So if you all recall, starting with the Mark Foley scandal, the congressman who was hitting on young teen pages at his that worked for the legislature, that really started an avalanche of stories about corrupt Republican politicians and all sorts of these unethical and sleazy things that they were doing. I'm not saying Democrats wouldn't have much sleaze either, but it just seems like since they've been the party out of power for so long now, if you're corrupt and you're looking for favors, you go to the Republicans, not the Democrats. So there was all this news going on about what actually the Republicans were doing, about bribery and corruption and graft and incompetence, and then there was also these, you know, stories were coming out about Iraq, and the news was paying attention to North Korea and Iran, and it was like the journalists were actually doing their job for a little bit. It was kind of nice. And especially, there's an election. There's the midterm congressional election coming up next week. So, given the constraints of American so-called democracy, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Big election coming up, we're covering the issues, we're covering the candidates. You know, still too much coverage of polling data and campaign ads and tactics. But still, it was all right. And then, enter John Kerry. John Kerry apparently made a joke. He says that he was trying to make a joke about how if you're dumb like George Bush, you get a country stuck in a bad war like Iraq. But if you listen to the joke, it sounded more like he was saying, if you're stupid, you won't have any job opportunities, and you'll end up being a soldier in Iraq because you won't have anything else to do. And, oh, the Republicans were angry and self-righteous, and they were calling for an apology, and, oh, he disrespects the troops, and, oh, this is so... This shows the real Democratic mindset and their contempt for our military. And, well, first of all, John Kerry's not running for anything. His office isn't up for... He's not up for re-election this year. So, you know, although it doesn't really matter what he said. Secondly, even if they're right, even if the Republicans are reaching and they're misinterpreting and John Kerry meant to say one thing and blew it, who cares? Let's say John Kerry said all the troops are idiots and they smell bad. What does that have to do with anything? You know, like I'm saying, even given the constraints, imagining that our politicians are people who care and represent us, and we gotta, you know, us the American people have to make the best judgment to decide who will be in that office. Let's even pretend all that is true. Why would you cover this? What, and why would you cover even worse? Why would you recover what the Republicans said afterwards? I mean, it's so obvious that if you're a paid liar, you know, you're a consultant, you're a Republican PR person, all you do is try to make the other guys look bad and your guy look good. A real journalist would ignore them altogether, you know? You know, you'd try to find out, okay, what is this guy actually doing? What are his policies? What does he say his policies are? What do I think his policies might be, despite the fact what he said? What of his policies do I think will actually get through after having to compromise in Congress? But no. John Kerry said something. And like I said, I mean, seriously, if I had been a Democrat and I'd seen the news doing this, I would have lost all faith and hope. I'd be like, oh my God, we cannot trust the media to help us at all. They're willing to, at the drop of a hat, turn to bullshit. I mean, it's gossip is what it is, really. It's, you know, like, oh man, did you hear? Susie insulted Bobby on the playground, and now Julie's mad because she likes Bobby and she thinks Sally should apologize, and... Are we fucking children? Is obviously, you know, there's bigger things going on in the world than John Kerry and Republican bickering. And there's even more. I should even have to talk about this. Like I was saying, the stuff in Oaxaca earlier, very important stuff. This stuff I'm talking about because it's media issues, and that's partially what this show's about, so it feels like I have an in to talk about it, but... All of this, none of this should be, you know, nobody should have to be saying this stuff. Nobody should have to be commenting on the media or being stupid. But, well, I got no say in the matter. Now, one other bit that is interesting, the other media story I mentioned, it involved a guy who I wasn't really very familiar with until I read this article. Mark Halperin. He is the political director for ABC News. I'm pretty sure it's ABC News. Let me double check. Yes, ABC News political director and author of a new book with the political editor of the Washington Post, a fellow named John Harris. Mark Halperin, to promote his book, has been going on uber-conservative talk radio shows and trying to convince the host and his guests that actually, sure, most of the liberal might be media, but I'm a good conservative. So let's have a quote here. Hugh Hewitt is a conservative radio pundit, and here's what he says. He's interviewing Mark Halperin, and he says... I think my giant unified field theory here is that liberal media have destroyed the necessity of the left having to debate, having to reach a message across, because you guys have always papered over the weaknesses of their arguments. And so, in essence, by creating an echo chamber and by allowing them to get away with saying silly things, you've destroyed the incentive to be smart and facile. And Mark Halperin responds to this. You know, so basically, Hugh Hewitt is saying, you guys just repeat everything that liberals say, and that means liberals are getting soft and stupid because they don't have to be intellectually rigorous and defend themselves because the media is on their side. Now, after making this huge allegation of media bias and incompetence, Mark Halperin responds by saying, I agree. Nothing else. I agree. That is the full sum of his response. And then Hugh Hewitt laughs, says, that's too easy, I've stormed the castle. And Mark Halperin says, Hugh, you and I have agreed on a lot during this show. For the purpose of jacking up your already sky-high ratings, occasionally you pick fights with me where they don't exist. Both you and I agree about that basic premise. And then he also says, Carl Rove, who I respect and enjoy, I enjoy his company. Let's see. But to lump me in with everybody else, all, you know, basically saying all the other liberals, to lump me in with everybody else, I think, is doing people a disservice, because most of my colleagues, as you know, are in denial about it or blind to it. So it's kind of disgusting. It's this guy. I mean, allegedly, again, giving our mythical media political structure, the political director of ABC News would be unbiased. He would be trying to have a look at both sides of the issues and present that. But when you have a guy who's the head of ABC Political News, who is sucking up very badly and embarrassingly to other conservatives, saying, please like me, I'm one of you, no really, please. It's just kind of sniveling fucking Renfield shit. Please, master, please allow me to serve you. And, And apparently, yeah, so that was a show with Hugh Hewitt, who's a conservative pundit who I just barely have heard of. I don't even know what he looks like. But he's gone on other shows. He went on Sean Hannity's show. Did the same sort of thing. Not sure what other shows he might have been on. But even funnier, Halperin did this book with another fellow. I forget his first name. John Harris, I think. John Harris is now speaking out against Hugh Hewitt, saying, dude, shut up. You're making us look bad. Stop doing that. So, I am amused. But, now, I did want to say, we have some good news here. Where did this go? So this is poll data. Again, poll data, very, in my mind, it's very unreliable. I don't understand how it can work. I don't see how you can interview 1,000 people, ask them questions, and say that represents the views of another 290 million people. I guess we're up to 300 million in the U.S. now. How you can say that represents 300 million people? But I'm not a math guy. But anyway, so here's some poll data, though, and, you know, take it for what it's worth, but, you know, it sounds positive. This is a poll, a New York Times CBS News poll, which showed that 29% of Americans approve of the way President Bush is managing the war in Iraq. 29%. Nearly 70% said Mr. Bush did not have a plan to end the war. And 80% said Mr. Bush's latest effort to rally public support for the conflict amounted to a change in language, but not policy. Among registered voters, 33% said they plan to support Republicans, and 52% said they would vote for Democrats. Mr. Bush's approval rating was 34%, unchanged from a poll 3 weeks ago, an anemic rating that explains why many Democrats are featuring him in their final advertisements, as well as why some Republican incumbents do not want him at their side. that approval rating is 9 points below where former President Bill Clinton's was in October 1994, the election in which the Republicans surprised Democrats by taking control of the House. So there's that, and then there's this other fun bit. It says, where did this go? Shoot, I lost this number. Okay, here we go. 2 years ago, there was a poll taken the American people and said how many people consider themselves Republicans. 37.2% 2 years ago said, I consider myself a Republican. This October, the same company did the same poll, and 31.5% said that they were Republicans, which means almost a 6% drop in people who consider themselves Republicans. Now put that across the 300 million people that live in the United States. I mean, it really, I think that a lot of people who consider themselves conservatives or consider themselves Republicans are seeing that the Republican Party is not actually matching their own political philosophy. They're seeing this corruption, they're seeing the sleaze, and a lot of them, I think, are uncomfortable with the religious right connections and with the war in Iraq, which seems so poorly run and murderous and insane. And so I think a lot of them are backing away, and a lot of them probably, they might not vote Democrat in the election, but I don't know if they're going to vote Republican either. They might just not vote, which will be bad for Republicans. And I do honestly hope that the Republicans, you know, again, both parties, I feel, are pretty corrupt and share a set of assumptions, which is, you know, terrible, terribly harmful. It just, you know, sort of this idea that middle class America. Well, if you're a Democrat, you sort of think that everybody should be a middle class American, which ignores a host of issues of sexism, racism, environmental unsustainability, the exploitation of people in other countries, the right of U.S. to invade whoever it wants. All of that stuff is background. They don't talk about it too much. But I mean, that's underlying both parties, no matter what you think, and which leads to a terrible, eventually destroyed planet Earth and human race. But just on a small level, I do hope that the Democrats crush the Republicans, mainly to show the rest of the world that the United States is actually starting to wake up a bit. Before, I've talked about the effect of fear and ignorance on... I've talked more about the effect of ignorance on fear. I remember right after the 9/11 attacks, talking with people, and the people who knew the least amount about Islam, about Afghanistan, about Saudi Arabia, about Iraq, about Saddam Hussein, about Osama bin Laden, they were the ones who were the most afraid, and the craziest. But I've been coming to realize lately that, ignorance can lead to fear, and fear leads to not thinking. You're not thinking, and this kind of bullshit, you're all, we're under attack, I don't know what to do, and some politician says, oh, well, we need to invade Iraq, you're all, will that make us safe? And they say, yes, it will. You say, let's do that. And I think, finally, the fear is ratcheting down. We had, crazy fear after 9/11, crazy fear through the Afghan war. Crazy fear whipped up again about Iraq, crazy fear at the beginning of the Iraq war, what's going to happen. And now people are seeing, we haven't been attacked by terrorists in several years now. I'm not afraid anymore. Now I can actually look around with my eyes open, and I don't like what I'm seeing. I mean, my feeling was that re-electing Bush in 2004 showed the world that we really were that stupid. We really were that crazed and arrogant and violent. But something like this might actually make the rest of the world go, okay, those Americans are maybe not so bad. They were going through a rough patch, which led to the deaths of over a million people in other countries, but, you can't make an omelet. So do I have more news to talk about? Yes, the light cigarette. So this was just a quick thing I heard this morning, or the other morning, on NPR News. They were talking about this potential lawsuit that had gone against some tobacco companies, where I think it was in Portland or something, and the person won the lawsuit against the tobacco companies. It was like $900 in damages, and then like another $79 million in punitive damages. And tobacco companies were appealing, saying that, punitive damages can't be that much, this was based on nothing, etc., etc. But in the course of the story, they explained light cigarettes. Light cigarettes gave the impression that they were healthier, that they had less nicotine in them, and less tar. Now, apparently, they did not. They had the same amount of nicotine and the same amount of tar. The only difference was that there were little holes in the tip of the cigarette where you put your lips to suck in on it. Now, why would that make a difference? Well, it wouldn't make a difference to a human being. Because you would breathe in and you'd put your lips on the cigarette, and it would cover up the holes, and you'd get all of the tar and all of the nicotine. But apparently the machine that they use at the FDA to test a cigarette for the amount of nicotine and tar just goes right against the tip of it there and would not cover up those holes, and it would suck in from the cigarette and analyze that air that it sucked in. But since it wouldn't have covered up those holes, fresh air would have come in and diluted that amount that got sucked in to be tested by the cigarette testing machine. So the testing machine said, oh, yep, less nicotine, less tar, healthier. But it wasn't. The cigarette was not healthier. The cigarette had been designed to scam the cigarette testing machine, which is one of the most appalling things I can think of. Man, you can make up... I usually like making little analogies for saying how bad something is. You can make your own there, but that's just sleaze. We're going to sell cigarettes that are just as deadly as the other ones. We're going to tell people they're healthier. And the only thing that's going to be different about the cigarette is we designed it differently to make it easier to scam people. And, that's just awful. I'm really running out of news here to talk about. I think I'm gonna play some music, come back a little bit later, talk about some housing activism going on in Miami. And, yeah. Here we got a little Rage Against the Machine. I'm sure you heard of them. This is Rage Against the Machine from the Battle of Los Angeles album. This is gonna be War Within a Breath. I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastards. Gracias para escuchar.
Every official that come in cripples us, leaves us maimed, silent and tame, and with our flesh and bones he builds his home.
Every single hurt will only curse another substitution. Everyone you meet secures a wretched seat within your memory. Wipe their filthy feet upon the yearning of your soul. There you are in me. No one ever loved me, not at school, and home was so sadistic. I don't want to be another fool, another sad statistic. Everyone you know secures a wretched glow within your memory. Wipe their filthy toes upon the yearning of your mind. There you are in me. Mother, mother, why you tear away? Counting up the stars like any other bird. has gone undercover. Here's a wretched crutch within your memory. Wipe their filthy mush upon the yearning of your soul. There you are in me.
Non, mais il dégueule pas vraiment.
Yeah!
I'll just try do it.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. That is, there was the Sea and the Gulls doing Seagulls. For that, we had Mia doing Galang and Refuse doing New Noise, one of the best songs ever. Nouvelle Vague doing Too Drunk to Fuck. Nelly McKay doing There You Are. We started off with a Rage Against the Machine. Show's running a little long today because I started a little late. And now I'm realizing I could go on forever because there's no one on after me. But newsy news, stuff to talk about. I had one more thing to mention, and then I discovered something mere moments ago that's worth mentioning. We have got Take Back the Land, Take Back the Land movement. Miami, Florida. Apparently Miami-Dade County, there is a housing agency there that is really corrupt, that they have really fucked up and stolen money and taken public housing and demolished some public housing and built new public housing that had fewer units than what they destroyed. And there's like 40,000 people on the wait list for low-income housing to be built by the city and by the county. And finally, some people said, fuck this shit, we're going to do it ourselves. So in the neighborhood of Liberty City in Miami, yes, I'm aware that Liberty City is the name of a city in the Grand Theft Auto video games. Put that out of your head. Stop it. Liberty City neighborhood, there's a big vacant lot on one property, and it's owned by the city, and the people there said, okay, this is going to be a new housing shelter. So they're building a shanty town, you know, building little houses out of wood and tents and that sort of thing, where people are going to live. They're serving food there to people who are hungry. And it's sort of this makeshift homeless shelter that they're building there, that they say this is not a stunt. This is not a publicity stunt. It's not an attempt to get the city to pay more attention to homeless issues. This is where they're going to live. They've made this place. This is where they're going to be their homes, because they can't trust the city to do it for them. They're doing it for themselves. But that was a great story. And it's legal. What I'm told, the phone's ringing behind me. I'm going to ignore it. I can never ignore the phone. Hold on. If Crystal, if you're out there, Verizon Wireless wants to talk to you. Anyhow, so yes, they've made their own homes. And it sounds like the city is trying to make excuses to get them out of there. They sent some sort of housing board out there, and they were saying that how unsafe the shantytown is. And I heard this great quote out of there. One woman said, "This is unsafe. We were living in public housing before my kid was bitten by a rat. It's safer out here than the buildings you provide." So I like that. They have a blog. If you want to see pictures, see updates, takebacktheland.blogspot.com. And if you want to help them out, they got a donation link. Click on the PayPal button, donate button. You can send them money to help out this community. I've got on my website, I have an article called DIY Housing, where I have further information about a petition you can sign and a mailing address if you wanted to send the money via check rather than over the internet. So there's that. The other bit of news that I said I just now discovered is that, where did this go? Okay, there is a man named Pastor Ted Haggard, who is founder and senior leader of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs. His church has 14,000 members, and Time magazine claimed that he was one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America. Now there is a man who's come forward, Mike Jones, who is a gay man and admitted male escort who claims he has had an ongoing sexual relationship with Haggard for the past 3 years. Even though Haggard he preaches that homosexuality is a sin, and this male prostitute also says that he's seen Haggard use methamphetamines in front of him on several occasions. I can't say whether or not this story is true, but this male prostitute claims that he has voicemails from Mr. Haggard and letters written to him by Mr. Haggard. I don't think you. It sounds like, and he says he's been talking to this local Colorado news station for 2 months. I don't think you try to make that shit up. If you wouldn't say I've got letters and voicemails and talked to the news agency for 2 months if you don't have that. I don't think that would happen. So I guess we'll give you updates later, but it sounds like one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America, who hates the gays, preaches against gay marriage, and is the leader of one of these big churches out there, may have been having a gay sex relationship with a prostitute and is a drug abuser, perhaps. So there's a word for that. I think it's hypocrisy. And it's also kind of funny that this man puts forth this image. I am so holy. I was actually listening to an interview the other day with John Variosis, who is a blogger and gay rights activist. And he was saying he spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., and he says that he thinks a lot of these politicians, really in their heads, their public lives and private lives are totally different, and they don't see it as a hypocrisy. For example, they could go out during the day and, you know, denounce gays and gay marriage and sex and all that, and then go out, you know, and he's not saying they were all gay, but, you know, then they'll go out later, have dinner and lunch with their gay staffers who they're good friends with, stuff like that, and that they don't see this they don't see the contradiction, they don't see the hypocrisy. To them, it's just sort of like, you know, a fucking schizoid thing, where what they do in their private life has nothing to do with what they preach out in public, which is perhaps the case with Mr. Haggard. Anyhow, one more song, and then we're going to get out of here. It's a quick one. This is our pals Umlaut, the Finnish anarchist speed metal biker band. Here we go. This brings us to the end of another Lying Media Bastards radio show. Why isn't that working? Oh, there we go. This brings us to the end of another Lying Media Bastards radio show. Edges there was Umlaut doing Killed by Survival. I'm going to look at the lyrics and tell you what they mean later, maybe. Want to listen to my old shows? LyingMediaBastards.com. Want to read my cool political rantings? LyingMediaBastards.com. If you've just started listening to the show in the past month, please let me know how you heard about it, because I want to know why suddenly twice as many people are listening. Not a bad thing, of course, just I'm a curioso fellow. So, drop me a line if you want. Jake@LyingMediaBastards.com. Send me music. Send me MP3s, the songs you think are cool. LMBRadio@gmail.com. See y'all next week, maybe.